We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
Three NFL draft. The Detroit Lions select Jahmyr Gibbs, running back, Alabama.
Goff looks, Goff throws, caught inside the one, fighting for the end zone, and getting in for the touchdown, Detroit Lions, Amon-Ra St. Brown. The snap, he's got it, wants to throw, Wentz looks, pressure comes, Wentz, hit, sack, back inside the 20, Aiden Hutchinson, that's number two.
Yo, what is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Pride Podcast, episode 345 on the Blue Warrior Network. I am your host, Tyler, joined by my two guys, as always, Mr. McLemore here. Boys, how are we feeling? Free agency breakdown, how are we feeling?
I'm feeling great, bro. We'll get into it. Malcolm, it's been a minute. How you doing, bro?
Woo! Ooh, man. Yeah, it felt like forever, man. Shit. The whole gang's here. Let's go.
The whole gang is here. And I'm not going to lie to you guys. Like, free agency is not officially over yet, but it's been a week officially since the day we're recording right now. And I got to say, like, I've been very, very impressed with what Brad Holmes has done with this team. And we're going to get into more, like, all the exact moves that he's done. But, like, I think just playing a smart man, like, there hasn't been that stupid move yet from Brad. I think playing a responsible offseason and just getting better additions to this football team and improving certain positions. I think Brad has done a phenomenal job so far. So with that being said, let's just get right into it. We have a bunch of moves to address right now. So let's just start with day one, what the Lions did. And that was, I think the biggest one on day one was trading for Carlton Davis from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Detroit Lions shipped a third-round pick. They had 2 third-round picks. They shipped their personal one, so which was in the 90s, I believe it was pick 92, if I'm not mistaken. So a pick in the 90s, their later third, and they acquired Carlton Davis, and they also acquired 2 sixth-round picks from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, one being from this year and one being in the 2025 NFL draft. So I'll start off with you, Pierre, the Detroit Lions. Get that corner. We've been talking about it since the season has been going, but especially since the season ended, Lions have a dying need at cornerback. They go out there. They acquire Carlton Davis from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so Carlton Davis had an up-and-down year with the Bucs, but they played a lot of zone. He's not a zone corner. He's more of a man corner, and here's the stats in man coverage last year. 60% completion percentage allowed, no touchdowns allowed, 75.1 passer rating when targeted. So he was really good at man coverage. He played zone. It's not really his game. He's more of like a press guy, get in your face. He shadows number one receivers. He could do that. I love it, bro. Like I said, last year wasn't his best year. But if you look at when he's played man and when he had that great year, was it 21 or 22? I forgot what the year he got paid. But one of those years, I forgot what year it was, they played a lot of man, and that's what he thrived in. And if you listen to what he said in his presser, it sounds like the Lions are probably going to go to a more man scheme than zone scheme. And I actually like that a lot.
So overall, it sounds like you're impressed with the move.
I got my cornerback one, bro. Like, about time, you know?
All right.
Since Darius Slay, seriously.
How do you feel about what they gave up to get him? You know, giving up their round pick. Like, that's not cheap, but like, not too much. But like, what's your thoughts on what they gave up to get him?
So last year, that cornerback from the Bills got traded for a fourth, Rasul Douglas. I think he's better than Rasul Douglas. And if you take a third and 2 6, I think that kind of equates to a fourth round pick. So I think it's great value.
Yeah. So my thoughts on the Carlton Davis is right now he's on an expiring contract. So we'll see if at some point during this offseason or even maybe during the season, or if they just play it out, like if they come to an extension with Carlton Davis. But overall, like, I like the move. It's definitely an upgrade of what they had before, which isn't saying very much because, I mean, they were trotting out Cam Sutton and Kendall Vildor in the NFC Championship game. So, like, you're not saying much when we're saying that they improved the cornerback room with acquiring Carlton Davis. It's definitely an upgrade. It's definitely the best corner that they have in the building right now. I like the move. Like, and you didn't trade too much to get him. Like, you had 2 third rounds to play around with, and you kept the better of the third. So, like, you kept Minnesota's pick. You traded yours. And you got a definite upgrade. Like, you're not going into next season relying on a rookie to be your cornerback one. And that's what I like about it. Like, it allows flexibility for the Lions to still go out there and get a young corner and let him sit behind some of these veterans they have now, like Carlton Davis and Cam Sutton. And maybe eventually he could take that spot and be a starting corner. It's not pressuring like a rookie to be a day one starter, which I like about it. So you get a guy who's established, a guy who's been on a winning team, a guy who's won a Super Bowl not too long ago in 2020. Like, it's a good addition. And we know Aaron Glenn, you know, obviously he has a nose for knowing defensive backs, but obviously playing in the league for a very long time, being very successful at it. And, you know, if it is true that he's been a better man corner than zone and this could be a better fit for him, I'm all in for it. Like, it's an upgrade. They didn't trade too much to get him, and I think it still offers flexibility for the Lions to go out there and still draft the young corner and have him sit behind these veterans, like I just mentioned. So overall, I think a very smart move for Brad Holmes. I think we were all kind of in the boat, like we would love the Legarius Sneed stuff, but as of right now, as we're recording, like, nothing has been finalized with Legarius Sneed, so there might have been some, you know, pushback from a guy like Brad Holmes and, you know, worried about what the extension is going to look like, the injury situation with Legarius Sneed. Like, there's a lot of things that factor in there with Sneed. So it looks like Brad was not waiting on that sweepstakes and, like, just wants to kind of get over with, which I respect, because you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. And if that fails, now you're left with what you had last year. And, you know, you trot out the Cam Sutton and the Zero Jacob duo, or the Cam Sutton and the Kendall Vildor, like, whatever it is, right? So overall, like I said, just a very solid move, bringing a corner, the best corner in your building right now. So I'm cool with it.
Yep.
Yeah. So, man, I'm going to be honest with you. I had a little emotional roller coaster with this one. First of all, I want to give a shout out to Carlton Davis. You know, he actually went to high school locally here in South Florida. He went to Norland High School, which is maybe like 10 minutes away from me. But besides that, I did have a little bit of an emotional roller coaster, because if you'd have asked me like in off season, like, oh, name me some corners, name me three corners, he'd probably be like the third or fourth one on my list at that point. But as the days went on and I sat and I marinated this move, I started to like it more and more. When you hear a guy like Ja'Marr Chase and he actually says, who's the toughest corner you ever played against? And he actually said the toughest corner he played against was Carlton Davis. It just stuff like that it made me more intrigued. And then watching more film, watching him more in man coverage, the Lions did exactly what I wanted them to do. And we used to talk about this all offseason. I've been saying the Lions need to go out and get a guy. They need to get a number one corner. They have to establish this move, get a guy in that can cover these number one receivers, because you can't really rely on a rookie at that 29th pick. And either you're going to do a free agency and get that number one corner, or you're going to trade to get that number one corner. And they actually did it. So they traded, got the corner. I'm happy with it. It's a solid move. I think he's a great corner. He plays man coverage really well. He's respected around the league and with his peers and in the receiving corps. So I like it. I have no complaints about it. I can't wait to see what he does. It's definitely an upgrade, because the Lord Jesus is really bad here.
I do want to add one more thing, though. He came in his presser wearing shades and a chain. And, you know, corners, when you talk about corners, you got to have that swagger. And he's confident. And I love that in corners. Like, corners need to have a swagger to them. They don't have a swagger, they don't belong in this league, bro.
He's a Miami boy, man. He's raised out here, man. Of course he'll come out there with a swagger like that, man.
You got to, bro. Corners, you got to talk your shit when you got to. You got to back it up, and you got to like have that confidence. That's the one position in the NFL where you have to have like that swagger for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like I said, this is a great move. We have our number one corner. We can rely on a guy that can cover these number one receivers and not worry about them giving up 200 receiving yards to these goddamn guys. Like it's been a stretch of bad play in quarterbacks for us, man. So I'm glad we actually have somebody. I'm good with it. Good move by Brad.
Yes, sir. Yeah,
I mean, me and Pierre in our preview episode, if you guys listened to the last one, like he was one of the guys we mentioned as a potential target for the Lions. He was one of the three. And we said I'm going to say straight, like we like the other two guys that we mentioned more than Carlton Davis, but like getting one of those guys was really important, like getting an established vet, like Malcolm said. So overall, man, like I don't think anyone can be really disappointed. Like they didn't trade much to go out in there and get him. I mean, third round pick is solid, but like at least they have another one in their back pocket that they can still use, and they kept the better of the third. So again, man, there's really no complaints there. So
do want to mention one thing for the people who don't really watch or know of Carlton Davis and just looking at stats and PFF, don't do it. I'm telling you right now, don't do it. He can play. He can cover these number one receivers. He can limit the number one receivers on other teams. He can limit those guys. So that's all you need in your number one corner. So this is a great move.
Well, you know what helps a cornerback one and just a secondary in general is getting defensive line help. And that's also what Brett Holmes did in this class. You guys like that segue? Going out there and getting defensive linemen.
That was amazing, man.
Getting defensive lineman DJ Reader from the Cincinnati Bengals. I'll start off with you, Pierre, man. I look at this personally as the biggest move that the Lions have made this offseason.
All I got to say, man, I'm going to miss Benito Jones. Psych! We got DJ Reader. We got a guy who I'm going to tell you this. He commands double teams, bro. He's going to open up so much for Aleem McNeil, Aiden Hutchinson, and like if it's whoever's on the other side, if it's Pascal or Davenport, we'll get into in a little bit. Whoever is on that side, Aleem McNeil is going to help Aleem's game. Remember when they added Snacks Harrison to Ayshon's game? He took that next level. Now, Aleem already had a really good year last year, but you add a guy like Reader next to him and then Hutch – and then whoever else they bring in, or Davenport or Pascal or whoever it is, right? Bro, first of all, your run defense got a lot better. You're already like a top three run defense. Now, your pass rush also got better too, because this is a guy from the nose. He doesn't get a lot of sacks, but he could fuck shit up in the middle. Like, he could push a guy into a quarterback, a guard or a center into a quarterback. He's really powerful. That bull rush is very, very powerful. And I also think, you know, last year how they went more in base defense on third downs because their nose tackles weren't all that effective. Benito Jones, Isaiah Bugs, Tyson Oluwalu, whatever it was. I feel like now they can play more nickel because DJ Reader could eat up that space, and it's going to make the linebackers. DJ Reader makes everyone better on your defense. Your linebackers, your D-line, when you get pressure, it helps your back end as well. It's a fantastic signing. I love it, bro.
I think the terms, too, is one of my favorite parts about the deal is like, DJ Reader has dealt with some injuries the last 2 years, which was a bit of a concern coming into the offseason, playing 14 games last season, only playing 10 in the year before. But what Brad got him on, 2-year deal, only $9 million guaranteed, I think is an absolute steal and an absolute perfect addition to what this defense needed. They just needed a veteran and a guy who's played at a high level at that position. And they got a guy who's played on a good football team who was just in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, playing the LA Rams when he was on Cincinnati. And, you know, just a disruptor, man. Like, again, Peter kind of mentioned it, not like the flashy guy who's going to come out with a 15 sack season. Like, that's not DJ Reader's game, but a guy who's going to, you know, be enforcer in the run game, be enforcer and getting pressure on the quarterback and being able to do multiple different things with Reader. He's a three down defensive lineman, and the Lions got that in this free agency class. A guy who is established, proven, and is just going to benefit everyone around him. Guys like Aiden Hutchinson is going to benefit because he's not going to draw all the attention on the defense anymore. Aleem McNeil especially going to draw so much less attention now having DJ Reader. It's a perfect addition. They needed someone up in the middle, and they got that. I think there's zero complaints with DJ Reader. This is the move this offseason. Like, this is the big one you were kind of waiting for, and it's a real solid one, man, a real solid addition. And just a captain, you know, a guy who's been a captain for a good team before and, you know, been that guy. Like, there is zero complaints here, man. I absolutely love the move. And it's like, I love the Snacks comparison because we saw in 2018 when Snacks was traded from the Giants to the Lions to that trade deadline, like, it just improved everybody game, not only A'shaun Robinson, but Jared Davis at linebacker. Like, that's going to benefit your whole defense. Getting pressure on the quarterback more, you know, consistently, that's going to help your defensive back room. So, like, he is a move that benefits everywhere on your defense. It's not just your Aleem McNeil and Aiden Hutchinson. Like, he benefits every single part of this defense. He's a big moving factor. I'm super excited about this addition. And, you know, guys like Broderick Martin, like, being able to learn behind a guy like DJ Reader, absolutely huge. And we've been talking about Aleem McNeil, another guy who's also going to benefit tremendously off playing off DJ Reader. So, super excited for this move and just absolutely love the term that, like I said, Brad Holmes got him at. And that's going to be kind of the trend going forward in this episode when we see we're breaking down all these players. The contract, the terms, like, Brad is not locking himself anywhere long-term with any of these guys. Nothing stupid money. Like, everything's been very, very responsible and smart from Brad, and I respect it. Filling in needs, getting better players, and that's exactly what you just got here with DJ Reader. So, Malcolm, the floor is yours. What's your thoughts on signing DJ Reader?
I think this is huge for Aleem McNeil. I think that he's going to be the one that's going to benefit the most from this move. The amount of double and triple team that brother has been facing these past seasons, I think it comes to an end. And I think he had 5 sacks last season. I think it's going to jump up, and I think he's going to be a double-digit sack guy from the interior, which is going to be huge. And DJ Reader is going to just make his game that much better. Then also the linebackers. I think the linebackers are also going to be able to play even better. And this is a position of an upgrade. So we already had a team that was top in stopping the run. Now you added a guy like DJ Reader, and then now we might be the best run-stopping defense in the NFL, if healthy. You know, that's what DJ Reader is going to bring to this already established run-stopping defense. So this move is huge. I think it's a huge upgrade, especially over Benito Jones. And it's crazy because look where Benito Jones went. Like I told you, Miami takes all of our players. Benito Jones, right in Miami. That's where he's at right now. He went to Miami. I don't know what the hell is going on in Miami, but it's like it seemed like they just love our players. It's like every time a player gets released or cut, they end up somewhere, they find a way in Miami. But Benito Jones in Miami, and we got a huge upgrade here. So I'm excited.
I thought it was so funny. I don't even know if you guys noticed this, but when we signed DJ Reader, I think it was less than 5 minutes. They had to be within a 2 minute span maximum. The Miami Dolphins signed Benito Jones. I'm like, my goodness, this is the greatest day ever. It's like I just burned off Benito Jones and I just improved with DJ Reader. Like, what a day. What a day. Like, that's no offense. Well, no, it is offensive, but you know, what am I saying? There's no offense to Benito Jones. I absolutely cooked the guy and I felt bad after it. I said the tweet, but
you know what? Benito Jones, I mean, for who he is,
he was okay.
He was okay.
You know, for a waiver wire pickup in August 2 years ago and lasting that long, like, he was okay. You're right.
He exceeded everybody's expectation. I can tell you that right now. I mean, I think you could say probably about 75% Lions fans, him coming in, had no idea who the hell he was to begin with.
Right. And you're right. He shouldn't have been in that role. And that like, that's not fair to him because he shouldn't have been in the role. But, like, it just was his role. But, like, it's like a new improvement. Benito Jones is your starter going to DJ Reader. It's just like, it's night and day of the improvement you just got. And same thing, kind of like going back to Carlton Davis. Really
quickly, yeah, just like
when you go from Kindleville Door to Carlton Davis, it's like night and day the difference that you're getting. It's just, it's crazy, yeah, man. It's crazy.
Not just that, too. Like, Cam Sutton is not your number one anymore. He doesn't have to shadow number one receivers. He could be on number two receivers. Then Carlton's on number one. So, like, it makes everyone better, bro.
Right. Okay, going on to the next move.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, going on to the next move, going to the other side of the trenches that actually happened probably like 30, 40 minutes before we started doing recording this. So I'm so very glad that we kind of delayed it a little bit. And that was the Lions signing offensive guard Kevin Zeitler from the Baltimore Ravens. Veteran, start off with you, Pierre. What's your thoughts on getting Zeitler here?
I actually think you upgraded over Jonah. Now, Jonah's a better run blocker than pass block, but Jonah's been hurt. This guy has started at least 15 games over the last, I want to say,
I think 12 years, I believe.
12 years? 12 years.
Yes.
So he's very durable. He's one of the best in pass pros. He's a good run. He's not like, it's not his strength, but he's good at it. He could maul people. He's a big dude. Bro, it's another, like, whoever they draft or whoever they add, like, you're learning from Zeiler, Ragnow, Decker, Sewell, Hank Fraley. This is huge for, like, the young guys on team, Coyote Oshika, Colby Sorsdahl. Obviously, I mean, I made a joke today in a Lions group chat. I said, Brad Holmes just built a fucking wall around Jared Goff. No one's touching him. I mean, seriously, that's what it is. If you look at it, there's no weakness on the offensive line. None. Last year, I mean, you know, we said Jonah, you know, we'll see how he looks, but he was in and out of the lineup hurt. Good for him. He got a bag. I'm happy for Jonah, but this is a short-term move, though. They're probably going to draft a guy for the future and maybe to compete with Graham, or you never know, with one of these guys they have. But I think right now, this is going to be your right guard. He's only played right guard. Graham was your right guard last year. But I think he moves to left because Zeiler, we'll learn it. But he's played on the right side in his career. So
this, I should have fact checked this, but I believe this is correct. Doing this very on the fly, very quickly. I believe Zeiler has only missed 11 games in 12 years, and he's 34 years old, was in the Pro Bowl last year, and obviously playing for the Baltimore Ravens, which is a very, very good football team. It was in the AFC Championship last year. So, like, the big thing with Jonah, I think we could all agree, phenomenal football player when he's on the field. And the last 2 years, the biggest issue with Jonah has been durability. And, like, I know it's coming repetitive. We say it every single year. We say it every time. But, like, it is really true. It's like your best ability is your availability. And that's something that Kevin Zeitler has been for the Baltimore Ravens or the Cincinnati Bengals or the New York Giants or for whatever football team he's played for is durability. And for the Lions offensive line situations, like, you already have your main core guys. Like, you have Ragnow, you have Decker, you have Penei. Like, that's your main core guys. And we'll talk about Glasgow. They brought him back. Like, they have their main core guys. So we always talk about it. It's like getting another guy in here is not always the most difficult situation because, like, when you get to play around that surrounding cast of players, like, they make your job a lot easier than, you know, other situations around the NFL. So a guy like Zeiler coming in here, a veteran, absolute pro, playing up for a high-level football team the last couple of years with Baltimore, like, it's a good addition. And kind of like what Peter said, like, it still offers the Lions flexibility to still go out there and draft a guy in the draft, like a guard or a tackle or just an offensive lineman in general. And, you know, you have a guy that is a stopgap for now, and it doesn't force a rookie day one, you know, go win that job. You know, I think when we were doing our preview last week and kind of all the way, like, anticipating, like, Jonah was going to be gone, and I thought the Lions would go a little cheaper at guard and, like, bring a cheaper guard in and ease in a rookie and hope that they would start day one. But, like, getting a guy like Zeiler gives flexibility now. A guy who could start day one, absolutely, but it also still gives the flexibility of being able to draft the guy within the first 2 days and giving him an opportunity, which is going to be a little more difficult now with Zeiler here. But, you know, letting him groom and letting him come a better pro and just being able to learn from guys like Ragnow, Zeiler, Graham, Penei, Decker, the whole offensive line in general. So just a good move overall. I like it a lot and fills a big need in for the Lions. And I think one of the bigger needs we were talking about this offseason, and it fills it in right there. So I like it.
Yeah, and this was actually a surprise that happened today. So that was pretty awesome. That happened, like, right before we started recording. I think this is a great move, and it's a short-term move. You know, only signed up for a one-year deal. He's 34 years old, so I think they definitely have to draft a guy for the future. I like the move a lot. Now, the coaches have, you know, Brad, Dan, they seen the difference when you have a guy that you just plug in there like a Oshika. They see how the offensive line is, and they see how Goff is as far as, you know, he's having to, you know, escape the pressure and try to make something happen. You know, they see that. So they had to address that as far as that position and make it, you know, have Goff, make him have a clean pocket. That gives Goff his best chance to have, you know, his better games is it once the pocket is clean. So I think it's a good move, man. This is a move that, you know, I think makes that offensive line better. And another plus for Brad Holmes, man. Shit.
Yeah, I mean, it was a bit of a surprise, to be honestly. I was surprised by it. Not a fascinating surprise. Like, I was excited about it. So.
A good surprise.
Good surprise, definitely.
Yeah, so. Definitely a good surprise.
So, I like it. All right, going on to the defense side ball again, going to Marcus Davenport from the Minnesota Vikings, former Saint, worked with AG, a little bit of Aaron Glenn as well. I mean, AG and Dan Campbell a little bit. Here, what's your thoughts on bringing in Davenport here?
I think this is a guy where, like, it's kind of like a reclamation, see if you could kind of stay healthy. See, it's 1 year. What do you have, like, worth up to $6.5 million or something like that?
So yeah, something like
it's
that. Yep.
Kind of like, hey, let's take a flyer on this guy. We had him in New Orleans, like Campbell and AG. We know him. We know he fits. This is a guy in 2021. I think he had 9 sacks. He's really good at defending the run. He's strong. If he can stay healthy, this would be a big addition. But that's the issue with that. But he hasn't been able to stay healthy. And that's why he's got a 1 year deal. I'm sure it's probably, if I had to guess, I would guess it's probably $3 or $4 million worth up to $6.5 million. So it's like, it's a 1 year deal, kind of like CJ Gardner-Johnson. If it works, it works. It doesn't. Who cares? It's not a big deal. You don't sign him long term. He's not on the books after this year. He'll be a free agent. So, it's a good signing. I like it, Tyler. It's a guy they're familiar with, highly drafted, very raw as a player. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, the lines, like I've been mentioning, with all the turnaround they're going to have on this defensive line, like, they just needed to bring in guys into this defensive line room. I mean, like, Romeo is still on signing. I don't expect them to bring him back. Julian's already with the Eagles. Charles Harris, I don't assume that he'll be back this offseason. So, like, the Lions just needed guys in the defensive line room. And that's exactly what they did with Marcus Davenport. I mean, only played 4 games last year, 15 games the year before with the Saints. And, you know, by any means, I don't see this guy being a starter of, like, lying alongside Aiden Hutchinson, like, getting majority of the snaps. I look at this more as a rotational defensive line piece, you know, having certain roles for him. But as far as, like, being the day one starter alongside Aiden Hutchinson, I don't believe that is going to be the case for him right now. And I think you could look at that right now as maybe a need for the Lions defensive line room, because, like, I think they have a lot of guys kind of similar to Davenport. It's like, raw, not too much to prove, guys like Pascal, guys like James Houston, and now you're adding Davenport. Kaminsky's still in here. Like, you know, you have guys, but, like, I don't think you have, like, that true, like, front runner starter. Like, I think the other three positions, you kind of know what you're going to get. Like, DJ Reader, Liam, that's your starters up the middle. That's set in stone. Aiden Hutchinson on one side of the ball, like, that's set in stone. I think we're still kind of figuring out who's going to be the other starter alongside Aiden Hutchinson on the edge. And I think Davenport, like I said, gives him a rotational piece, but I don't think this should be your ideal starter. And what they gave him money-wise, I think, kind of tells you that, like, I don't think this is their starter that they're thinking that they're going to go into week one. So as if it is a rotational piece, I like it a lot. If it's your starter, not so very much. So we have a whole offseason left still. We still have a draft to cover. So we'll see what they do. I expect some more pieces to add to this defensive line. But as far as getting a piece, a guy they're familiar with, a guy who could start and could have a certain role, it's good. But like I said, he cannot be.
It's not starter money.
This cannot be your week one starter alongside. No. Like, that would be very disappointing, to be honest.
I'll tell you this, though, Tyler. I know last year they were really high on Pascal. They just couldn't stay healthy. They're really high on him. I wouldn't be shocked if they try, if they, like, kind of give him the, we'll see. I mean, we'll see what happens for age. But right now, the way the roster stands, if I had to guess just today, I think Pascal is your starter opposite of Hutchinson.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, because they don't really have other guys. I mean, they have a bunch of guys like Davenport. Like I said, Pascal, Houston. I think they're all
kind of. Those guys are all different, though, but they all kind of.
They're all played different, but they're all, like, what I mean, like, as the same aspect as, like, rotational guys. Like, they're not starters, in my opinion. None of those.
I think Pascal's a starter, personally, but.
He has to prove it to me. He's not one right now.
That's fair.
He's not one right now.
Yeah. I mean, Marcus Davenport. I mean, this is one of the first few moves that they made. Probably the most non-sexiest move that I've seen from, I guess, the whole free agency that they picked up. The thing is with him, he hasn't played much because he's been injured, so he's injury prone. That him coming in as injury prone is like red flag. I mean, it's just we usually have bad luck with guys who are already coming in injury prone. But the good news is that his contract is so contract friendly, he might not even make 53. I mean, if he gets cut, because team people are just about beat them. I mean, we don't lose much. So I think this is a proven deal. I mean, they know him. Like Pierre said, they know him. See what he can do. See if he can stay healthy in camp and see if he could be here and compete with these guys. I'm really hoping as far as – I'm hoping not. That hoping Pascal is not the guy who they're banking on to go on the other side of the hutch. Now, if he breaks out and have this amazing year, it's cool, you know. But I don't know. You know, I would rather them address this with their 29th pick or they move up and do something. I really hope they address it there in the first round and get a guy opposite of a hutch that could be a playmaker and wreck the game and make the game easier for – the other three guys, like DJ Reader, Aleem, and Aiden. You know, you have another guy there that's a game changer as that other end mixed with those other three guys. You're going to have you're gonna be a problem for every single team you play against. So I think that's what I'm hoping, that they address it there. Marcus Davenport, I mean, I hope it works out for him. I mean, shoot, I mean, I'm betting on him. Hopefully he stays healthy and works out. But he's not guaranteed. He's not guaranteed to be here. He's not guaranteed to make the roster. He's not guaranteed to do anything. So this is what it is.
Right. I mean, I think he'll be on this football roster, like on the 53-man roster, just with the money
that he did. Not if he gets hurt.
Not if he gets hurt. But, like, I think he'll be on this roster some capacity. But I agree. Just, like, I wouldn't be thrilled with the idea of him being the other starter alongside Hutchinson. And, like I said, there's still a whole offseason. There's still some solid free agents left. There's still a whole draft. It's like, there's ways that they could address it. So I'm hoping – you know, there's another way that they can address it. Because, like, when I saw the Davenport thing, it's like, yeah, like, that doesn't, like, move me. That doesn't, like you said, it's not sexy. So, like, it is what it is. So, overall, like, solid move. If it's a rotational piece, I like it a lot. If it's starter, we'll have different questions. Well, you know, a different response. So,
yeah.
All right. Let's go into the Lions' last new face, I could say. And that is bringing in cornerback Amik Robinson from the Vegas Raiders. Start with you, Pierre.
This is one of my favorite signings, just for the price. And I loved him coming out of college back in 2020. This is a certified dog. Like, he's not the biggest corner, but he's a dog, man. He has hops. He'll hit you. He's not scared to tackle. He'll get in your face. He'll talk his shit. He's a Dan Campbell type of player. Like, I'm surprised Antonio Pierce didn't bring him back, because he's the guy that Pierce wants, and Antonio Pierce spoke highly of him this year. I forgot exactly what he said, but this guy is a guy where, like, if Cam Sutton struggles, or maybe they'll give him a chance to compete with Cam Sutton to be your number two corner. He could play in the nickel. He's played some safety. Like I said, he's a great tackler. Remember Quandre Diggs was like a small dude, like 5'8", 5'9", or whatever he was, but he played big. This is, if you haven't watched Amik Robinson, just go watch him. You guys will love him. He's going to be a fan favorite here. I really believe it. I think he's going to be a fan favorite in Detroit, just the way he plays. He plays so violent, aggressive, always wants to hit you. He talks when he makes a play, he's going to let you hear it too. You know, like, he's not like CJ, the rah-rah type guy. He'll talk when he makes a play, but he won't talk like he's not making a play. The other day, they tweeted at him that, like, the Packers, like, I'll strap that shit up or whatever. And then Jaden Reed responded with a laughing emoji. So he's already talking to shit on Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I love it, bro. The Amik Robinson. Press play. Go and press play, and you'll love the guy. He's not a perfect guy, obviously, 5'9", but, man, he's fun to watch, bro. He's your third corner, second corner, I'd say right now. He's going to play in packages for sure. They're going to find ways to get this guy on the field just because how good he is.
Yeah, and it's just improving the depth on this football team. And that's exactly what Amik Robinson is, like, a guy who's proven that he could start before, started for a lot of games for the Raiders last year, and, like, just, like, not being in a situation if one of these guys do go down, it's like, oh, my God, like, what are we going to do? And, like, that's what, like, they had to do. They just needed to bring in some new guys. I mentioned with the defensive line room, and they had to do the same thing with the DBs room and the cornerback room specifically. It's just get in guys that are more reliable if there's an injury or if guys are struggling or whatever the situation ends up being, right? And that's exactly what they do with Amik Robinson. And then the thing I like about Amik a lot, it's kind of what you already, you know, hit on, is, like, the versatility is, like, he's mainly an outside corner. I know he's only 5'9", but, like, he mainly plays on the outside, and that's, like, his most efficient plays when he's on the outside, but also offers some versatility in the nickel as well if Branch goes down or, you know, he – whatever the situation is, that would be, right? Like, it gives you versatility. It gives you options. So, you know, having a guy who could play the outside and the nickel at a high level, especially the outside, like, that's a big plus. And, like, who can make plays as well, like, that's a plus as well. I think the Lions could still add some guys to the defensive back room. I think it's a good start what they've done this free agency with adding Carlton Davis and adding Amik Robinson. But I still think there could be some more work done. Nothing like too sexy. I think the starters are pretty much set in stone. But, you know, bringing in, you know, maybe a backup nickel, I think that could still be in play. But, like, even if you don't do that, you have the options with Amik Robinson, and that offers you some versatility. But something for me believes that this defensive back room and the cornerback room specifically is not set in stone. I think there's still going to be some more additions to this room. But, you know, what they've done this free agency with adding Carlton, adding Amik, like, good start so far. He got ahead of it right away, and I think, like, a minor tweak and, like, getting another corner in here, I think you're set in stone and ready to go for week one.
Yeah, I think they had another fat and rookie at least.
Yeah, right. I mean, I won't be shocked if they I really do think they do go and draft a corner somewhere in this draft. But there's a lot of corners, man. They even brought back Emmanuel Mosley, which is something that, you know, not talked about. You know, once he recovers, I want to see where he falls in this role as far as, you know, on the depth chart. But yeah, I mean, Amik Robinson, he's plays way bigger than his size, I can tell you that now. And he, like Pierre said, he is fun to watch. I did watch some of his tape, and he's a fun guy. I would like to see exactly how they're going to use him in his role. Is he going to be the number, the emergency corner if somebody goes down? Is he going to be subbed in packages, or is he going to steal Cam Sutton's job? I mean, that's something to look at, man. It's going to be interesting. I mean, hell, I mean, I want the best corners out there. So whoever's the best, I don't care where you got paid or what's going on. I don't care what number you're wearing. I don't care if you're number one, number zero, number 23. If you're not the best player out there, you're not playing. And this is what it is. So I want to see where his role.
Yeah. Malcolm, this staff is not afraid of that, right? Because last year they drafted Jack Campbell in the first round. Derek Barnes obviously had a good year. Anzalone had a good year. Jack Campbell didn't start, right? So it doesn't matter where you're picked, how much you're signed, it's competition. And Jack Campbell's a good player, but, you know, that room was just stacked. And I feel like the linebacker room, the way it was last year, the corners room is going to be like that this year. You're going to have some good competition, and some good players probably aren't going to play as much, which is fine. It's good problems to have.
We saw it in the safety room too last year. Like, Tracy Walker wasn't playing, you know, the level of play that they expected. And, you know, they gave an opportunity to Fatu Melifanwu, and he ended up taking the spot. And, you know, Tracy was on an extension. Like, they gave him an extension a couple off seasons ago. Like, he was making good money, and, you know, they went with Iffy to start. So, like, yeah, they're definitely not afraid. So I think I like that you mentioned that, Malcolm, was like putting pressure on guys in this cornerback room. Like, it's not set in stone. Cam Sutton's going to be your cornerback too. I expect him to be. But, like, he's not set in stone. He has to go out there in August and in July when training camp starts. You have to go out there and prove it that, like, that you deserve to be the starting corner going into week one. And now they're putting some more pressure on him. And I expect Brad to even put more pressure on him come draft season or even come during free agency. Like, I think they're going to sign another guy, or they're going to draft a guy. Like, maybe both, right? So putting pressure on guys, not being too comfortable, I think is a good thing. So overall, I like it, man. I like the Amik Robinson pickup a lot.
Yeah, he's going to be a fan favorite, I'm telling you.
Yeah. Okay, that's all the new faces the Lions brought in. Let's go into some familiar faces returning back with the Detroit Lions, and then we'll talk about some departures after, and then we'll talk about some Lions fridges still out there, and then we'll probably wrap up the show. So with re-signing, the Lions brought back Graham Glasgow on day one before free agency technically started. So start off with you, Pierre. I mean, I don't think there's really much to say here. I think no brainer, but go ahead.
I mean, I think we all saw this coming, to be honest. It's a no brainer, you know, with the Jonas stuff. Graham wanted to be here. He lives in Ann Arbor. He's from here. I'm not going to say much. We saw his play. He could play center. He could play guard. It's a good signing. And honestly, I think he can move on after 1 year. So it's not, you're not handicapped to him if you want to move on. So it's a good deal for both sides. He got a nice contract. So
team friendly though too. Like, he got himself paid as well, but like, I thought the Lions got a really good like deal for Graham Glasgow for the level of play that he gave him and the versatility that he gave him. 3 years worth up to $20 million, only 9.5 guaranteed. Like, that's a good deal for the Lions, man. For a guy who is, I look at him as like a glue guy, like a guy who could play guard, either guard position, could play center, you know, and just loves this team, right? Like, he, you know, he's willing to go out there and put it out for this team. I love Glasgow, and I was upset when they lost him a couple off seasons ago, and I was glad they brought him back last year. And, you know, he was huge for this football team last year. So, like Pierre said, it was an absolute no-brainer. I would have been shocked if he didn't return. Love the term that they got him on. So, super stoked to have Graham Glasgow back on the Honolulu Blue.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, same here, man. I think he was, you know, him coming in when they brought him in last year, you probably looked at him as like the backup rotational guy if somebody gets hurt, and he actually stole that job when Hamapute Vaitai got hurt, and he just took the job and never gave it back. So, I mean, it was a great signing. I mean, you have a guy that's reliable, very versatile. He could play center. He played center for us last year, played guard. You can play either guard position. I mean, he's just so versatile. So it's a great signing, and it helps the offensive line as well. So I'm good. I like the move.
Yeah, it's nice going to draft season knowing that you have your five stars already. I love it. Like, it still offers the flexibility of being able to go out there and draft a guy, but like, you have five guys that you could definitely count on going to week one, which I absolutely love.
Yes, sir.
All right. The Lions also brought back Donovan Peoples-Jones on a one-year, $2 million contract. Go ahead, Pierre.
I think this is your wide receiver four, probably at worst maybe three, but he's more of a four. You know, Khalif Raymond got hurt last year. He could return, provides depth. When they target him, he caught the ball. Good solid player, $2 million, local kid, you know, played right across the street at Cass Tech. So literally sometimes we park in their parking lots, like, right. Not theirs, but like on Cass, we park on Cass. So That was a no-brainer. Another no-brainer, another easy one. Like, it's nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see the role they have for him because, I mean, this is a guy they ended up trading for at the deadline last year. So they obviously liked him enough to trade for him. Not that they traded much to get him in the building, but they traded to get him, right? And they brought him back this offseason. Now he's going to have a full offseason rapport with this offense. And Ben Johnson's sticking around. Obviously, Goff's going to be here. So, like, you have a full rapport now, full offseason with your offensive coordinator, your quarterback. I'm interested to see the role that he is going to be in this year. Ideally, I don't want to be my wide receiver three, and right now how it shapes out the roster to be, he might be that, but obviously there's still a lot of time to be. That could change, obviously, with free agency still going on and draft season coming up very soon. But ideally, yeah, like I said, I don't want him to be your wide receiver three, but as far as a wide receiver in the building, a guy who's going to probably be on this 53-man roster, a guy who could return punt as well if needed, like – you know, it's a low risk. I'm not going to go as far as say high reward, but like, you know, maybe you get something out of him. Like Pierce said, like when he got targeted and his very minimal targets, you know, he made plays, he caught the ball. So, I mean, there's really no complaints bringing DPJ back overall. Solid move, I'll say.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of figured they were going to bring him back because, you know, Brad Holmes, when he makes a move, he doesn't do it just for that season. So I didn't think they just brought in Donovan Peoples-Jones just for last season. It was for a move just because they had a vision. They had a vision of exactly how they're going to use him and his role on his team. And I knew it was just going to be more than just that 1 year of that vision, which we didn't see shit from him last year. But I knew they had a plan for him. So I knew they were going to bring him back some way, somehow. If he was there on their plans to be the wide receiver three, maybe this is their trial to see how he does. But it's not set in stone. My biggest question is, what goes on with Josh Reynolds? So they bring him back. I mean, which is huge because, I mean, he's a fan. Well, he's a fan favorite. I know he had that really rough NFC championship game, but he's been really reliable. He's one of Goff's security blankets. So him not – potentially might not coming back is kind of rough.
I would say the fan base is split on Malcolm after that game. I wouldn't say it's a fan favorite anymore.
Yeah, it's just one game. I mean, if you're judging Josh Reynolds from one game after all that reliability he's been all season long, it's kind of rough.
I get you. To be fair though, that wasn't just any game though.
Yeah, I know.
That wasn't just the week four game versus the Green Bay Packers.
Hey, you know what he said? That was his thing.
What's his name? The other receiver, number nine, Jameson Williams, JMO. He had a rough game too.
Not like Reynolds though.
Not like Reynolds, I know. But
those are completely different.
I thought JMO had a good game versus. He had that nice run.
He had the nice run.
Then he had a few drops. He had that touchdown.
Okay, but you're not. I'm not going back to that game, but like very quickly, you cannot compare Jamo's game to Josh Reynolds in that game.
No, completely different. I'm not saying who had the worst game or they had equally. I'm just saying he had a rough game too. Not as bad, but he had a rough game.
Jamo dropped a touchdown versus
San Francisco. Yeah, he dropped
the one that went right through his hands,
buddy.
Yeah, I forgot. I don't remember. Yeah.
All right.
Luckily, you forgot. Yeah, I mean, I wish I could
forget that game.
That is played in my head rent free. All it pisses me off all the time.
The play I remember is the Jahmyr Gibbs golf just missing him. Yeah, I remember everything bad that happened in that game.
Guys, we're on high vibes right now. Off the 49ers game right now.
We're not doing this.
But all right.
What's it called? Josh Reynolds, man. Come on.
I'm down to bring him back.
Well, you might not. Shit.
There's still some names. I don't look at DPJ as the lock for the wide receiver 3. I think he's a body and a face right now. I think they're gonna get another guy in here. And it might be Josh Reynolds. It might be another free agent. Or it could be the draft route.
I think it's probably the draft route, honestly. I think maybe after the draft, if they don't get one, they'll bring Reynolds back. But I do think they've done work on some ex-wide receivers in this draft. So Brian Thomas Jr. will be so fun in this on this team. If you haven't watched him, guys, go watch him. LSU kid, first round player. He's just really good, man. And I think Brett's gonna go BPA. I don't think he gives a you really don't have any needs, bro.
Yeah, you don't have any dying needs.
Well, not a dying needs, but we need another edge rusher.
Well, yeah, that's probably the biggest.
No, yeah, you do need another edge rusher, but it's not like
bad.
And we're still in free agency, though. There's a certain guy that's still available, went to University of Michigan, played for the Chiefs last year, has played in big games in his career. Mike Dana.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
there's still some wide receivers out there, too. I mean, we mentioned Reynolds, DJ Chark, potential reunion, maybe. Good player, good ex receiver for the Lions a couple years ago.
If they could bring DJ Chark back, I am thrilled.
Okay,
he had the report go off already. I'll be through.
Very quickly. Do you prefer? I made a poll about this the other day. Would you prefer Josh Reynolds or DJ Chark?
DJ Chark hasn't been healthy in the last three years.
I get that, but
what do you mean you get that? Your best ability is availability. If your guy's on IR, is never on the field. What are you getting for? Just to be on the IR?
If I get 10 games out of DJ Chark or 9 games out of DJ Chark, it's still better than Josh Reynolds.
No, I disagree with that.
Yeah, I agree with it. Because the defense plays you different. Josh Reynolds out there, you play defense regularly. DJ Chark out there, you're like, all right, we need a guy on top of me because I'm guarding DJ Chark. 6'4", is 6'4 receiver? 6'4", 6'5"? Runs a 4.3? Get out of here. Hell no.
That's over Brian Thomas. Malcolm, watch Brian Thomas, please.
Well, That was the question.
I get that, but I'm saying versus Josh Reynolds, run like a 4.7. Get out of here. Josh Reynolds, I'd rather have DJ Chark. He's more explosive.
You want?
Yeah,
to know
I get it. He's hurt or he gets hurt and stuff like that. But who's a better receiver? DJ Chark, 100%.
I don't think so. Right now, it's not. DJ Chark is not a better receiver right now. I really don't think so.
If healthy, you're saying Josh Reynolds is better than DJ Chark.
Yes.
You are crazy. you are absolutely insane.
Look at their numbers over the last few years.
Yeah, just look at his numbers when he was with the Lions. Look at his number when he was with the Lions and he was healthy versus Josh Reynolds' numbers when he was with the Lions. Who's more impactful on the offense?
They're both really – Josh Reynolds was really impactful. Look how many yards he averaged per catch.
Not more impactful than DJ Chark.
Man. I think you're kind of underplaying what Reynolds did last year.
I know he was a security break. He had a great rapport with Goff, but – who's a better? I mean, DJ Chark is faster. He's bigger. I mean, the defense has to play you a certain way when he's out there. If he's out on the field, you think they're gonna play cover one? You can play cover one with Josh Reynolds all day, every day. But you can't play cover one with DJ Chark out there. They're saying the defense, the respect of the defense, have to play you a certain way with
the vertical speed. I get that, but the guys, look what he did for the Panthers. They needed wide receivers. He couldn't even
put Josh Reynolds on the Panthers. What the fuck we have done? Absolutely not. You don't know the same thing.
I disagree with that.
Wait.
What did Josh Reynolds do with the Titans? Where was he on the? Where was he on the Titans roster on the depth chart?
Malcolm, what I'm trying to say is DJ Chark hasn't been healthy over the last, and that's why he's still a free agent.
But I was going to say, if healthy, who's better? You just said Josh Reynolds, which is absolutely insane.
Well, you can't say if healthy because DJ Chark has missed the last three seasons. He's been injured.
He has. But I'm just saying, if healthy, who's better? Who's a better talent? It's DJ Chark 100%.
Yes, it's obvious. He's faster. He's bigger. But
he's
the defense had to play a certain way when he's on the field. Josh Reynolds, he's on the field. You could do whatever. You could play cover two, cover three, cover one.
He's never on the field, though. That's the problem. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, the thing, too, if you do bring in Chark hypothetically, I know this is getting a little off, but if you do hypothetically bring in Chark, you don't need him to be the guy anymore because you have J-Mo, you have Amon-Ra, you have Laporta. Like, he's a wide receiver three. So, like, his durability is not as important as it was 2 years ago when he was on this football team.
I kind of disagree with that because J-Mo also has some durability concerns as well. So you need a guy who could be durable and could play.
I don't know. I would like either of them, honestly. If they brought either of them, I'd be happy.
I'll tell you what. I think they're going to add their X to the draft, and I'll give you a few names to watch. Brian Thomas Jr., Xavier Leggett, and Devontae Walker. Or Devontae Walker.
So I don't know if I said his name right. But yeah. We'll see what happens there, but yeah, that's the only big free agent that's I'm kind of waiting to see what's going to happen with them as far as Lions free agents. Like, what's going to happen with Josh Reynolds? I don't know. So, all right. Also, the Lions brought back very quickly. Well, I guess this is another sensitive topic when you mention this guy. Dan Skipper is also returning back on a 1 year deal. I'm not sensitive as far as Skip, but obviously
Skip,
you know what comes to Dan Skipper now after since the Dallas game.
So with Skip, you got death, taxes, and you got Dan Skipper on my football team at some point during the year.
I love it.
Let's go.
Skip's one of my favorite players on this football team. So
Skip is awesome. I don't know what he said to John, or was it John Feliciano against the Niners or whatever.
How long has he been a Lion?
I think since 27, maybe longer. But I could recall from 2017.
I'll tell you.
No, but even from a practice squad, I'm talking about.
Like, yeah. I think since 2017, he's been. Well, he went on the Texans for a couple of years too. I don't know if you guys remember that. Then he came back.
I got you.
Just
right
can't
here.
Get rid of him. Just
no. So 2017, he was on the Lions and the Cowboys roster. 2018 was on the Lions and Broncos roster. 2019 was on the Lions, Patriots, and Texans roster. 2020 Lions, 2021 Lions and Raiders.
The rest is Lions, yeah.
And from 22 and down is Lions. This is
2017,
guy,
right?
He's a guy you just can't get rid of.
Yeah. That Texas and Dan Skipper on your football team at one point during the year, guaranteed.
And this could be the year. Is it going to be the year he finally makes the 53?
I don't know.
I don't think he's ever made the initial 53. Like going to week one. Like now, I don't quote me on that, but I don't think he's ever made the initial 53 coming into week one.
He has not. You are right. He has not. Ever made the 53. He always gets cut.
And then he's on the practice spot, and then he ends up getting promoted.
He ends up getting promoted at some point. That's the Dan Skipper life.
All right. Okay. Yeah, I'm down with it. And then they also brought back Khalil Dorsey very quickly. I don't think there's really much thoughts there. Gunner, special teams guy.
Yeah, special teams guy, depth at corner. That's about it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Will you play kick return for us too?
A little bit, yeah.
We'll be a returner as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So no lock to be on the roster, but a guy who offers some versatility and could be on this roster for sure. So.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Now going to some departures, and then we'll end the show.
Oh, you forgot Emmanuel Mosley.
We talked about Mosley way back.
Oh, that's right. My bad.
Yeah. Well, we talked about like Jerem and Mosley.
Yeah, I forgot. Guys. I forgot.
That was my fault for bringing him up early. But I didn't know we were going to go into this topic. You guys are good.
Yeah. So, all right. Going into some departures now. Two big ones or two bigger ones, guys who had big roles on this football team and are no longer here. So we'll start off with Jonah Jackson. Start off with you, Pierre, really quickly, then Jonah.
I'm not paying him 17 he got. 17, good for 17, him. He got that back from the Rams. I don't think the Lions were comfortable paying him that. The Lions O-line's already really expensive. Congrats on getting the bag. That's, I think, how the Lions looked at it. We're going to go in a different direction, so.
Right. I mean, we talked about this kind of going into free agency. I think we were kind of all in rapport and on the same page with this. Was that Jonah, phenomenal football player when he's on the field. But, like, this offensive line and this just team in general is going to be very, very pricey very soon, and you just cannot pay everybody. And I think, unfortunately, Jonah just kind of falls under that boat where you can't pay everybody. And with how expensive this offensive line is going to be, I kind of expect the Lions to go out there and draft a guy, an offensive lineman in this draft, and then potentially sign a guy in free agency to compete with him. I mean, now we obviously covered Zietler already. That's a one-year deal. So it just kind of falls under one of those boats with Jonah. Just you couldn't pay everybody. It is what it is. Good football player, but durability has been an issue for him the last couple of years. But for the Rams fans, if you are listening, like, you're going to like Jonah Jackson. Like, he's a really good football player when he's on the field. But, just with how expensive the team's going to be very soon, every sign was pointing that he wasn't going to be here. I think once they didn't make the extension last year, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, shoot. I mean, this is what Jordan Jackson, I think that he kind of envisioned this, to be honest with you. I mean, I think this is why, you know, a lot of people wondering why wasn't Jordan playing? You know, I think that he was hurt and he didn't want to mess up his chances from getting the bag. And he did what he sought to do, man. He got the bag. And yeah, Brad Holmes was not paying him that money. I can tell you that now. I mean, he got what, $17 million?
17.
Yeah, good for him. You know, good for him.
Yeah, not happening here, man. Like you guys were saying earlier, your best ability is your availability, and he missed a lot of time these past years, and that's crazy how, you know, things could change really quickly. Because at one point, he was a future plan. Like, he was one of the guys that you probably thought that the Lions were going to build around. Also, with everybody else, when he made the Pro Bowl and all that, then these last 2 years, injury wise, been really rocky, and then him not pushing to go out there playing while hurt, it was another kind of red flag. So, I mean, we all see this happen. We all see this move coming. So, yeah. Good for him. Good for him. He got his buddy. He gets a team up with Stafford again. You see how they roll, man.
All right. And I think the similar situation now going here with this next guy, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, kind of expected as well. Is like the money that he got, good for him, made $11 million a year. He got term as well. He got 3 years. But, I mean, I'll say it really quickly. It's like, with how the line safeties played last year with Kirby and Iffy, it's like the writing was on the wall, because like they didn't really have the dying need for C.J. Gardner-Johnson once he returned. You know, the safeties were playing good ball, and he was just he was an extra, which was good. It was nice to have him, but like, you know, with how solid the safeties were towards the end of the year with Iffy breaking out and Kirby playing better once Iffy got in there, it's like the writing was on the wall. They have two young safeties, and I mentioned it when we were talking about our personal free agents, is like C.J. Gardner-Johnson's not depth. Like, someone's going to pay him and go out being starter. Like, teams are going to want a safety more than the Lions need him. So, and we saw that. The Eagles reunite with him. I think it's a good move for both sides. He's still a really good football player. I know some Lions fans are still salty about, you know, the way he acted while he was here. I honestly put that aside. I like C.J. as long as he doesn't talk crap about this football team. I'm okay with it. I like the guy, like him as a football player as well. So, again, just a reunion I kind of felt that was unlikely this offseason.
Yeah, like you said, you know, last year you said you wanted to be on the bench, and I respect that. But I think the Lions want to develop their young safeties, and I also think the Lions are going to add another veteran safety here. There's still a lot of good ones on the market. Safeties are going really cheap right now, and they need one. I just didn't see CJ coming back. I mean, not at there. I don't know how much of it is guaranteed, but 3 years, 33, good for him. He wanted a longer-term deal. I think Lions were only offering 1 year. He wanted, like, a longer-term deal. So good for him. He got it, and he's familiar with that team. He was with them last year, like, before he came to Detroit 2 years ago. So good for him. I mean, I like when players get the bag, you know? I just don't want to pay him that, though. If you said Brad Holmes gave C.J. Gardner a 3 year, 30, I was like, what the fuck are you doing, Brad? But, right. Yeah, I mean, Philly needs safeties. They don't have safeties, so it's good for them.
Yeah, we all seen this coming, and he just didn't have a role here, guys. I mean, this is what it is. He didn't have a role. If we didn't have, I'd be drawing blanks with these names.
Brian Branch, Iffy, who?
Brian Branch.
Yeah. Sans be one of those two.
Yeah, if we didn't have Brian Branch, and you know, you put C.J. Gardner-Johnson as a nickel, and he was our starting nickel, and he was playing at a high level. I would have loved him back. But he just doesn't have a role here. It's good for him. I mean, I was shocked that he went to Philly after talking shit about their fan base. I mean, he literally called them the worst fan base of all people.
Like, when he left, you know, Philly fans are ruthless. When he left, they talk their shit, and he talks shit back too. So, like, he's not a guy where, like, if you talk shit to him, he's gonna talk back regardless of who you are, you know. So
yeah, so it was kind of shocked that he actually went back. And they accepted him with open arms, so that's good, man. Good for him. Just hoping that he doesn't talk shit about Detroit.
Yeah, that's what will push me against CJ's. Like, I'm okay with him. I still like him as a player and as a football player. But if he says something about Detroit, like, that's when I'm like, all right, come on, man. We did everything by your side. Like, we were fine. We gave you a chance, bro. You got hurt, you know.
Yeah, to be honest with you, man, all it takes is one idiotic fan to go on Twitter and tweet him. That's all it takes.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's all it takes.
And it's like with CJ's, like, you wouldn't be shocked if you see it. You wouldn't be shocked if you saw it.
He'll clap back. So it just takes one. He's not going to ignore. He's not going to ignore the criticism. Right. If somebody go out there and say something on Twitter or social media, he's going to say something back.
Yeah.
I think CJ liked Detroit, though. Like, he was close with some of the rappers here because he's like, he got into music a little here.
And the fan base embraced him, man. They did the whole ski mask thing.
Fucking mask shit. Yeah. Yeah.
No, you know, I mean, like,
he cursed us.
Yeah. I don't think there should be. Like, just go off. And right now, that's how it's been. Go off your new team. Lions move on. I think that's all it should be. It's good size both ways. Like, nothing against the guy. So, that's how I feel.
She's the best, except when you play against us.
That's how I feel about CJ Gardner Johnson right now. Yeah. So, I'm completely cool with him. But, like, if he says it like that, you'll see a different response for me. So, I'm just warning you. So, all right. Lions also lose linebacker Anthony Pittman and cornerback Chase Lucas. I mean, nothing too significant here. Both special teams, depth guys. Chase Lucas hurts a little bit because I felt like he's a guy that has low potential. And him going to 49ers just stings a little bit, but overall, I'm not too caught up with it, the whole thing.
I think Pittman's actually a big loss on special teams. He's one of the best special team players. We'll see how they'll replace him. It's a big loss. But I do think maybe – who did he sign with?
Washington. Commanders. Yeah.
So maybe with Washington, he'll get more of an opportunity to play on defense. That's probably why he chose to go there. And, you know, if you look at Washington, who's their assistant GM? Lance Newmark. Where does Lance Newmark come from? Detroit.
Right.
Lance Newmark actually was with Bob Quinn when they brung him in. So just making the connections there, that's probably how they signed him. Maybe Lance Newmark sees a little more in him than Detroit saw in him as a player on defense potentially.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you, Pierre, man. I think that the Anthony Pittman move probably hurts a little bit more because of the special team. Was he a captain?
He was not. Jeremy Maven took it. Yeah. Okay. Josh, okay. You're thinking of Josh Woods the year before was the captain on special team.
Got you. Got you. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, his special team is going to hurt, but I mean, you still have Reeves Maven. I think Reeves Maven is better at that role anyway. So, yeah, I mean, you have two special team guys, and they both went on their separate ways, and sucks, but it is what it is, man. They get their money.
I'll give you one name that's available potentially. Chris Board was with the Lions a couple years ago, really good on special teams. He's a free agent right now. It makes sense. He's played in our special teams, really good player on special teams, and, you know, depth on that linebacker.
It's possible, yeah. He's a guy with a little defensive role as well, and I wouldn't expect that if we brought him back, but. You know, you have a good linebacker room right now. Rodrigo's in there. He could play special teams as well. So, like, you have guys in there. So, it's not too concerning. And, like, Brad's going to bring in guys if it's through the draft or through free agency to fill in those roles. So, not overly concerned right now. But, you know, two guys have been here for a minute. And, actually, Chase Lucas, the first Lions draft pick to not be in the roster in some capacity, which is very impressive for how long Brad Holmes has been here. So, and then... That's it as far as departures. And then one final note. I mean, again, not a super crazy thing, kind of expected. Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell, Chris Spielman all get their extensions here in Detroit. And I believe they're going to last until 2027 for all three of those guys. So big congratulations to those guys. Absolutely deserve it. I mean, I don't think anybody's disappointed or mad with that move. So you guys have any quick thoughts on that?
Yeah, now the question is Jared Goff going to be extended with them? Find out.
We'll talk about that on a different topic once, you know, if it's not done. So, you know, we'll see.
One thing, though, with Spielman is they didn't say on what year it was extended, but I have to guess. I think it's with Dan and Brad. I think they're all probably together.
They said multi-years, but, yeah. They didn't release the exact term. So I'm assuming, which is not great, but I'm assuming probably 2027 with those guys.
I'm guessing it's that, too, but, hey. Would it be Hendon Hooker with those guys? Would it be Jared Goff? Or will it be someone else? Stay tuned.
We shall see. I mean, those guys deserve it. They did a hell of a job.
Oh yeah,
the best job I've seen in Detroit as far as the biggest turnaround. They you know, in Detroit, these guys change the culture, change everything. So they definitely deserve it. Shit, they need to have a longer contract, keep them all together longer. But I love it.
I mean, Brad Holmes is just. I mean, I don't.
There's nothing really much more to say, you know.
Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes. I mean, those guys. I think, bro, they're top five at their respective positions right now, right now, like today.
Right. Yeah. That's fair.
If you want to debate that with me, go ahead.
I don't think people would debate you on that, honestly. I just don't. I mean, they changed everything here. They changed a complete dumpster fire and made it a respectful franchise. So, yeah. You know, that's it's a big credit. It's like, it's not like you flipped around the San Francisco 49ers. You respected, you flipped around the Detroit Lions, the worst franchise in pro sports for however many years. So, like, that's one hell of a job.
60 years.
That's one hell of a job. One hell of a job.
And they're just getting started, too. It's going to be fun here, man.
All right, guys, that is going to be a wrap to this episode. If there's some other free agency moves, you know, we'll talk about them in the next episode. But for now, that's what you got. You got pretty much the chunk of the meat right there. You got the Carlton Davis. You got the DJ Reader. You got all the big moves. And, you know, maybe there will be some other moves going forward. We'll see. But that's all we got for you guys right now. Hope you guys all enjoyed. And if you could leave a 5-star review, they're always much appreciated. And I'm out, guys. Peace.
Yeah, draft talk is coming up, guys, so stay tuned for that. We'll break down positions. Drafts, I think, like a month and a half away, so that's exciting. It's going to be in Detroit. That's even more exciting. Like Tyler said, man, if they make a signing, we'll have like a breaking like an emergency podcast for you guys or something. But for now, that's about it. I'm out. Peace.
Yerp, it's your boy Malcolm, and I am out.